I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rip my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Let's see. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I started off the beginning of the show talking about how we're never going to play Megan Rapinoe's voice on the show again unless something crazy happens. I reserve the right to make an executive decision, but I'm making a commitment to you right now. This story is done and over. Yay, United States. Congratulations. Wonderful World Cup victory. Moving on. Now, I've also talked about Miley Cyrus. That's weird. And we've talked about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez briefly and Nancy Pelosi. And I have on here a Rosie O'Donnell soundbite. And I'm just thinking, nah, not right now. Not today.
Not today.
Not today. Happy Thursday. It looks a little, is it blustery outside? Tony, you just walked outside, didn't you?
I did. I did.
You did?
There's the mic.
How, did you run to get your food?
Mm-mm. No.
It was speedy. It was like a 10-minute turnaround.
That was
a leisurely stroll.
Mm-hmm. Did you take a scooter?
That was slower than usual.
Don't take a scooter.
Yeah, I had to wait a little bit.
No, just take a scooter. You know how to drive, Katie.
Don't take a scooter.
Don't drive it into parked cars and tear your ACL.
No, I actually had to wait a few minutes today. It's right across the street. So
it
usually
seemed incredibly
cool.
Expedited.
You walk across. I order it online. I walk across. They hand it to me.
You walk where?
Across the street.
Across?
Across the street.
You didn't say
Did I say I crossed?
Yeah.
Okay, Beto O'Rourke.
Hey, I'll trade you.
Did you say that?
I also have a request on our Facebook page for you to say Illinois, not Illinois, again. Just so you know. I'm just putting it out there.
Illinois?
Yeah, ill.
Illinois?
Illinois. Yeah, that's right. That's good.
All right.
I will practice Beto O'Rourke. Was that good?
It was close. It was better than usual.
If he would just get out of the freaking race, I wouldn't have this problem anymore.
No kidding.
Right? It's about time anyway.
Yeah, he's back in the news.
I can say Buttigieg better than I can say O'Rourke, and not many people have that problem.
Right. People are still struggling to say Buttigieg. People are still struggling.
And I will tell a girlfriend you were so long.
Marianne Williamson.
She's still there.
God, I hope she sticks around for a while.
Me too.
We mentioned, was it in the, it was like 12:30 or so, we were talking, we were doing highlights, and we were talking about sports and baseball, and I wondered how much y'all know and are concerned about how much money Major League Baseball players are making. And I have to say, I was reading this article last night, and the one I was reading was at USAtoday.com, but it was being explained how what the concern actually is. And I am not one who thinks that because somebody is making, at least in proximity to me, a lot of money, that they should just be happy with that. Because if there's a whole pie and you're getting, you know, an X size of that pie, is it proportional to what you're contributing?
If you're not getting your fair share,
yeah,
whatever that be, if just because maybe the share is bigger, the pot, like you said, is bigger, doesn't mean like, oh, well, you know, the CEO makes $1 billion a year and he pays everybody in the company $150,000 a year. Well, $150,000 a year is a nice paycheck, but dang, he's not, percentage wise, he's
the disparity
not paying the people
is,
very well.
Yeah, significant. So Frank
yeah,
is
I understand that point.
Reading up on what the Major League Baseball players are, what their concern is. I've seen lots of articles suggesting that they are very united. I've seen the word strike being floated out there. I'm old enough to remember the baseball strike of 1994 and to understand how that impacted the game man, the 90s were not a good year for St. Louis baseball, but of year,
decade
for Cardinals baseball. But it was rough for a lot of people for a long time. So, Frank, what can you tell us about the concerns that are out there and maybe the demands that are being made?
Well, you mentioned that they're hinting at a possible, as you both were wearing sweaters, well, or
blankets
in here. It's really not that cold.
It's freezing.
Players are hinting at a possible strike in 2021.
I'm going to strike.
And what's interesting about that is the players' union and the ownership have already started meetings. This is really kind of unprecedented that they're working ahead of the deadline for a new collective bargaining agreement. It's kind of a big deal that they're actually talking about stuff already. The Players Association has concerns with teams they feel are taking advantage of the current contract by keeping younger players in the minors for longer periods of time and bringing them up to the major leagues at odd times to keep them under their rookie contracts for a longer period of time.
They're making business decisions over baseball decisions.
Exactly. And I've got those notes in here too, which is, it's interesting because you've got players that are tremendous talents and they're stuck in the minor leagues until several months or weeks into a baseball season when they could be up and contributing on the major league level, and they're not, because that means the baseball teams can hang on to them at their lower base pay for another season. So just spending a few more weeks in the minor leagues means their time as Major League Baseball players gets shorter, so they can hang on to them for another year at a lower cost.
Chris Bryant, did you have the Chris Bryant example there?
I did not have the Chris Bryant, but I had the Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Sure.
example.
And he was an All-Star this year, right?
He almost won the home run competition.
I saw people going bonkers that were, I didn't watch it, but I saw Twitter was loving the home run derby this year.
90 home runs, I think.
Yeah. So Chris Bryant is one of the people who we all know is a Chicago Cubs third baseman, All-Star. Was he the MVP? Was he maybe World Series MVP? I don't know.
It was the Mike Trout thing too. Like Mike Trout in Anaheim was obviously playing with Albert Pujols for the last few years, and for a portion of that time, he was still under his rookie contract. He was arguably the best player in baseball, and he was making something like $550,000 a year, and then right behind him in the lineup was Albert Pujols, who was making 30. Tens of millions of dollars.
So Chris Bryant, being the third baseman, is a little bit different than that, because going back to what Frank was saying here, he had to play the waiting game in 2015, according to this USA Today article. He sat out the first 2 weeks of the season before being called up. And because they sat him out those first 2 weeks, he can't be a free agent until 2022. So basically, the way the system is set up, the agreement is set up, this is what the business is permitted to do.
Yes.
Based on the collective bargaining agreement. And so would the Chicago Cubs have been better with Chris Bryant out there those first 2 weeks? Yes.
Would have been a much better team, but they're making money decisions, is what the players say, over competitive decisions. They're not looking to be competitive because they want to hang on to that lower salary for a longer period of time,
which is very common across all sports.
So in addition to that, the players are also not happy with the fact that there's a lot of talented players who do reach that free agent's point and are not being signed for the money that they thought they would get. They're being signed for less money, and they're being signed much, much later on into spring and sometimes into the season at a lower salary. So part of the assumption that all baseball players have and know, when they're drafted, they're not going to make any money in the minor leagues. A lot of them at poverty level, and below,
because it's
essentially a part-time job with full-time hours. So they know they're not making money there. They know they're not going to make money in the rookie contract. But part of the progress in free agency since the 70s has always been, you get us cheap at the beginning, but we're going to get paid at some point. But now they're not paying the younger guys because they're holding them back longer, and then they're also not paying the free agents by signing them to later on contracts worth less money than anybody had ever thought. That was always part of the deal. Significantly less.
Or potentially passing over some of these high-profile, like franchise-type players for younger rookies who are going to come in and make league minimum, like Tony was talking about with Mike Trout. It's... whether you think he's the best player in the game or not, but the juxtaposition of Trout and Pujols is the epitome of not paying a guy in the front end because you're going to pay him in the back end, and that's how it used to be. But when business owners stop paying in the back end, if these players don't ever actually hit their big payday, but the money and the revenue is still coming in, that isn't fair.
And that's part of the issue. Stats that I found, and this is the newest that I found, is from 2007, so it may be different than this. But as of 2007, the average Major League Baseball's length of time playing Major League Baseball is only 5.6 years. So that's 5.5 seasons, and this is as of a 2007 stat. I haven't found anything newer. So you look at it, how many years are they under that rookie contract? And then by the time they get to that point where they can be a free agent, how many years do they get to actually cash in? And it's not much.
Yeah.
Numbers, overall baseball generated $10.3 billion last year, up from $10 billion in 2017. Salaries of players fell by $115 million between 2017
and 2018. Wait,
revenue was up? Revenue was up by $0.3 billion, so that's $300 million higher, and salaries went down by $115 million over the same year.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. As I said, players obviously pointing out how many teams are falling far below the level of other teams. They're not being competitive. Currently, the Blue Jays, the Royals, the Orioles, the Tigers, the Mariners, the Marlins are all 20 games out of first place in their respective divisions.
Halfway through the season.
Five teams are already on pace to lose 100 games. Five teams. So obviously, players are concerned that the owners are more worried about the money than they are about putting a competitive team out there and spending some of the money that they're obviously generating. It's up $10 billion, up to $10
billion. Tony was talking about Miami.
They're famous for that.
The
Marlins are famous.
They will invest in a whole bunch of stuff one season and try to take a run at it. And then
they'll play 15 years of
bad You see
baseball.
People who go to Miami. Have you, either of you, ever been to a game at Miami?
Nobody goes.
Well, I mean, like if the Cardinals play there,
there's
6,000 mm-hmm. people there, and 5,500 of them are Cardinals fans.
Yep.
Like the Cardinals come to town, they actually put people in the seats. I'm sure there are other teams, like if other high profile teams or maybe a high profile player is in town, you're going to get some people that go there. But if the owners are degrading their product for business decisions, and the players aren't making the money that is proportionate to what they're generating in revenue, I think that's a problem. And I'd also say it's probably not ever going to change unless people stop buying tickets to go see a degraded product, right?
Well, and that's why the ace in the hole for the players is a strike, is not playing baseball, because the owners found out back in 1995 that fans wouldn't go see replacement players,
mm-hmm.
and it hurt the game. And they realized, well, we don't make any money unless we have players playing the game.
Yeah. Jim, thanks for calling the show.
Oh, thanks for letting me call on the show. Yeah. I've got several comments. One, the idea that the players in the minor leagues make, to quote what was said on your show, poverty wages. I know two people that both played minor league baseball. Their initial contract, they were signed for over six figures.
Well, a signing bonus and what you make to play are two separate things, and not
No. I'm not talking about a signing bonus. This is what they were signed to. This is what they were paid to play annually. Okay, so they're making far beyond poverty wages. Second of all, the idea that the players are concerned about putting a winning product on the field, ridiculous. They're concerned about one thing and one thing only: making money. That's why a couple years ago, there was one of the Cardinal big home run hitters. I looked at what his salary was based on a daily basis. He was making $5,000 a day. Now, let's compare that to the typical police officer in this area who makes $300 a day. These people these adults are out playing a child's game. They contribute nothing positive to society, as indicated by the fact when they did go on strike, nobody missed them. If you would have your firefighters go on strike, they're adults playing a child's game, being paid millions of dollars.
Because they're really
good
at it.
I can't feel sorry for that. Oh, so what?
Are you conservative, Jim?
Yes, I am.
You can't have the mentality of people contributing to something that generates tons of revenue and then talk about how somebody's salary dictates the value of human being that they are. That's not the way money works in the United States. We are a capitalist nation that has a market that determines the value of somebody's contribution and effort towards a final product. And suggesting that because they do something that is less human-to-human valuable than a police officer, who we here on the Annie Fry Show are very grateful for all of the police officers and all of their families who sacrifice themselves to serve their communities, the value of that paycheck has no determination on their value as a human being, and equating the two is a really, really non-starter for me.
Well, I think it can best be said by the quote that I read once that said, back in the days of the Roman Colosseum, you had the rich watching, or they were entertained by poor people in the Colosseum. Today, you have poor people watching rich people playing on the field.
Yeah, because they're paying to be there, Jim. I'm letting you go because I got to get to a break. But you, when those people are in those stadiums, they are making decisions with their own dollars to go spend money on something that makes them happy, which makes that a valuable thing to consume. And when people in the United States of America find something valuable that they're willing to give their money to consume, that creates a marketable product. And the people who create the product are the people who swing the little bat at the little ball, swing and miss because the pitcher's great, or put the ball in the stands because the hitter is great. That's what's interesting to people. Nobody's forced to be in those stands, and the people deserve to be paid for it. How much? That's what we're discussing here. But the idea that you're going to diminish an entire industry of sports as entertainment because there are other people out there that don't make as much that do way more good in the world, that's silly. Can you stay in here and keep talking about this?
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, you can say as many things as you want.
Per The Athletic, minor league salaries in baseball, $6,000 in single A to $93.50 in double A, $15,000 in triple A in 2018. That's per The Athletic. The poverty line in 2019 is $12,490.
Yeah, and seen for that one. Jim, you don't know what you're talking about. And when you come into the conversation and your purpose of making that point is that you don't think that Major League Baseball players really are even valuable in existence as they are, you don't understand how the country functions and how this works at all. You're missing the whole point. Let's talk about this more when we come back. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show and weigh in on this issue. We haven't even really talked about where we stand on this yet, but I'd love to know where you are on it. So we've heard who's making the money. The revenue is going up. The salaries are going down significantly. And the players are saying this isn't right. This is imbalanced. Equal pay for male baseball players. That's the topic of the day. How did this happen? I don't know. Let's take your phone calls as soon as we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Talking a little bit about the quarrel that the baseball players, in Major League Baseball players, are having with their current collective bargaining agreement. As Frank just reported, they have started the negotiations for the new one. Very early, Frank, was I right on the 2021 date that's the year when they need to have an agreement?
Yep. It'll be the 2021 season.
And so Jim called in and was talking about how, you know, these baseball players are playing a child's game and police officers make so much less and this is unfair. And I kind of lit him up and... It, as the people in the YouTube chat said, I was able to take the blanket off of me because I got a little heated. So I'm going to put James on here real quick and see if James, how he feels about this. And then I'm going to ask Tony Colombo his opinion. James, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie. Great show. Appreciate it, listening to you guys. And it's nice to kind of talk about something other than politics. But I'm sure somebody is going to blame Donald Trump for being so evil that these baseball players are making so much ungodly amount of money and that he's Adolf Hitler reincarnated because of salaries. But what I was going to say was that You know, nobody's forcing these owners to pay these guys any amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're paid what they think they're worth.
Yeah.
If they didn't think they were worth this kind of money, they wouldn't pay them because they're running a business and they would lose business. They would lose money, and they're not in business to lose money. So, you know, the players get what the owners pay them, and everybody agrees to that. In the collective bargaining agreement, they, you know, they make a decision, this is what we're going to get. But nobody's holding a gun to the owner's head and telling them they got to pay anybody any money.
Yeah. James, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And I agree with you. Like, the if the owners are within their rights to hold Chris Bryant back for 2 years because it makes it a better deal for them in 20, you know, whenever the, in 2015 when they held him back and he's not a free agent until 2022, and that helps the Chicago Cubs put a better team on the field in that 2021 and 2022 season, I understand that. Which is why the collective bargaining agreement is what is being discussed now. And the players have the opportunity to negotiate. And when they have the opportunity to negotiate, you better do it well because you're going to be under this CBA for a while. Tony, I asked you on the break what you thought about it, and you said you agreed more with Jim than me.
Yeah, not.
I don't even know if I've like weighed in 100% on what I think.
Not to the Jim is a little more extreme. I agree completely with that last caller. The idea that these players are at one point of their existence in Major League Baseball, they were getting paid on the, you know, you didn't make money very much money off your rookie contract, but you knew you were going to make a bunch of money on your second contract. Well, that still happens. It's just, I think owners have figured out that the Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols type deals are bad business.
Fortunately, the Cardinals knew the Albert Pujols deal was a bad business.
So maybe they don't pay up. Maybe those second and third contracts aren't as big as they used to be, but they're still bigger than the rookie contracts, and these players are still making money. Also, just like any other business, and we've had the CEO versus regular employee argument many, many times, you know, in other under other topics, the players make. The players need to negotiate, like you said, negotiate your best deal. No, you're not owed anything by the owners or the CEOs. And these teams that are tanking games, which really does happen in an attempt to try to, you know, not spend a bunch of money but still make a bunch of money. There's also teams like you, when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, you know how much extra money came along with that? So there's financial benefits
with each playoff series win, it just mounts and mounts and mounts.
And the jerseys, the gear, all the gear that they sold. It's astronomical how much money you can make for being a good team, a team that goes to the playoffs, a team that wins the World Series. So those CEOs have to, you know, weigh that in. Do I hold this guy back so I can make some money off of his salary, or do we want to try to win the World Series this year and make a bunch more money? I don't know. I don't feel like these baseball players are owed anything. I don't think anybody's owed, and that doesn't mean baseball players. I mean just about anybody. Make yourself as valuable as possible in whatever you're working for. And make your own best deal.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody needs to come in and say, hey,
we need
to put some rules here and make sure that these guys are making more money.
With Jim is that his idea of the whole system is completely not free market focused. The idea that because he doesn't value what somebody does or provides, that it should... that you can automatically equate that with police officers. That's called false choice. That is not a way to negotiate the value of something in its own industry. If you don't partake in it, that doesn't automatically devalue the product that is there.
Right.
But at the same time, you're kind of saying, which
just
is
like
an interesting...
what I do for a living, reading the news is maybe not as important as a firefighter, but that doesn't mean that what I do for a living doesn't have some value and I can't.
But there's fewer of you doing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot fewer newsreaders than there are firefighters.
And I have chosen my industry, and
Perhaps poorly.
Let's all stare at each other for a minute.
Probably poorly. But it's up to me to...
Would you feel good if Tony Colombo busted into your burning down house to save you?
So, I don't want to go there. Seriously, though.
I would trust him.
I think Major League Baseball players currently by pointing out the teams that are not being competitive and holding players back. I think they're winning the PR battle on this.
The players.
I think that they're getting out ahead and saying,
yeah,
hey,
it's a good argument.
You as fans out there, look at what's happening because of how the owners are treating us.
And I can't believe they do. When an organization is doing that and it's so obvious they're doing that, mm-hmm. anybody that buys a ticket or buys a t-shirt from that team is contributing to and awarding that type of behavior, which I can't believe they do that.
Here are the teams that are 20 games out of first place. The Blue Jays, the Royals, the Orioles, the Tigers, the Mariners, the Marlins.
And if you're buying tickets and hats and
in
shirts,
Seattle, why would you?
You're contributing to the problem.
Right.
Knock it off. Hold the team's feet to the fire and
because
make them try to be
competitive. Like I said, the only way this is going to change in a different way other than the players winning the PR battle like you said, Frank, is if the people say, I'm not paying for this crap anymore. You want to give me a crap product? You can keep your crap product. I'm not participating in it. Because that's how the free market works.
And that's going to hurt the owners more than it's going to hurt the players because the players have guaranteed contracts and it's going to hit the bottom line of the owners.
See, that's the other thing. Baseball players, you know, you need to be sort of careful what you ask for because they already have a pretty sweet deal when it comes to their collective bargaining agreement over other sports, other leagues.
Over
like,
the NFL, at least.
Over the NFL, for sure, which is arguably more popular and more profitable than Major League Baseball. You know, those players, you know, football players can sign a 10-year deal worth $100 million and you get cut in the second year and get nothing.
You get none of it.
Signing
bonus and that's it.
A baseball player could blow out his knee in the second week of his 5-year contract and he gets all of it.
Yeah. I want to read a couple comments here from the YouTube chat, which you can go to if you follow FM News Talk 97.1 on YouTube. From Jack, he said, if the players want to control the money, become an owner like Jeter. And what did he do when he did? Sold off all the talent to save money, which is actually very true. And then Brad also says, and Brad has a podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Brad Range. I think that's his Twitter. I'll check and make sure. Remember that players have a shelf life. They are not making that money their whole life. I do think that they should maximize their wealth while they can, which is kind of where I am. Like, I'm not really like here to take a side in owners versus players because there's a lot of money on the table that people have helped these owners get on the table. And the players are certainly at the forefront of that. But if you're not going to negotiate the best deal for yourself, you can't complain to me after the fact when the deal sucks, which is why they're negotiating now. And as Frank says, very pointedly, trying to win that PR battle because that's going to get them further down the process than.
And I completely agree with the whole, like, you can't compare Major League Baseball to police officers because we're talking about two different industries. The pots
and
are
just
bigger. I agree with
or
that.
Celebrities
but
like Katie.
If you take Frank's stats, if you are an average, if you're just good enough to be in Major League Baseball, but you're the worst player, and you have the average career of what you said was just over 5 years, and you make the minimum salary for all those 5 years, you're still making almost $3 million in that 5-year career.
And that's hard why these players think we've got to make it now because by the age of 27, I'm out.
Yeah. But it's hard to when you go back to the PR battle, it's hard to feel sorry for somebody that's like, well, you know, my shelf life is pretty small. Average career is only 5 years. Well, at worst case scenario, in those 5 years, you're going to make almost $3 million. It's hard to feel sorry for that person.
Well, let's take a quick
break. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong.
I don't think anybody's trying to feel sorry for anybody. We're just looking at the.
No, I understand.
Let's take a break. And I got Kelly and Jeff waiting on the line, 314-241-9797, if you want to join the conversation. Also, I'm going to have for you, I asked my 3-year-old what she thinks I do for a living. And did I tell you about this yet, Tony?
I know, but I think I saw it.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I got the sound for you. Well, we're going to play it for everybody else later because Tony is actually the star of this show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Go on, Katie. This is yours. This is your segment. I don't even have anything to say here. I'm all right. I'm embarrassed. This song starts and Katie goes, I hate you.
Take it away.
She's not even as good as you are, Katie.
Yes, she's great. Well, she's not a celebrity like me. But
take it away, Katie.
Oh, man. We're talking about player salaries here. I'm going to try to get through these phone calls here real quick so I can get to my three-year-old's explanation of what mommy does for a living. Kelly, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, thanks for taking the call. I love you. Tony and Katie, your appointment, listening even when I go on the road in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska.
That's amazing, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. The way I look at this is that if the players on the front end want more, and I'm on Tony's lane on this, that when you have the contracts like Pujols, like Rodriguez, like Josh Hamilton with the Rangers, that the last 3 or 4 years they're not producing. I mean, when you and I don't produce, we're gone.
Yeah.
But the problem is the owners are having to eat the last few years of those contracts with huge money, which means there's not enough money to pay those young guys over there. So to me, if the players want this, want some, you know, the service time to start earlier or something like that, it's like, well, why don't you give us something back here that this guy isn't performing. We have a little option here. Maybe you don't cut him, but you pay for performance just like the rest of us have to.
Yeah. Kelly, great point. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Okay. Thanks for listening as well. You know, I was kind of trying to get to this before, too. I don't think I actually got the words out. But according to what Kelly's saying here and Tony is saying, this could potentially be a market correction where if you're somebody who's in there as a player right now and you're expecting to get XYZ because that's what happened in the 10, 20 years before you and you don't get that, the market will correct itself. The question that the players will have to answer to make sure that they can get what they think they deserve is how do you justify saying that you want what you want? And if the revenue of the organizations is going up, I think you can make a good case that you are part of that, obviously, and that you should get a piece of it. But now it's definitely the time for them to try to get that squared away, because if you negotiate a bad deal, you're stuck in the bad deal. That's on you. Jeff, real quick, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing, Annie. Basically, with baseball, 1937 Cardinals, Joe Medwick was a Triple Crown winner. He was the most valuable player in the league and a world champion. He asked for a $2,000 raise, and Branch Rickey traded him for 5 players and $200,000 to the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's what is the guy doing for? I mean, even stats and stuff. I mean, sometimes you get rid of a player because that particular guy, Joe Medwick, I mean, he was an awesome player, but he didn't get along with his teammates. So mm-hmm. the trouble he was worth,
yeah.
he wasn't worth the money. It's just, we're going to trade you.
It's business.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's business, exactly. And you're not guaranteed anything. You know, you're allowed to chase the dream. Don't mean you're going to catch it. We're just allowed to chase it here.
Yeah. Jeff, thank you
so much.
And
just because you can play some baseball, don't mean you're getting everything.
Amen. I agree with all of that, Jeff. Great call. I mean, I think that when you consider the business aspect of it, and you realize that it is a billion-dollar industry. I mean, is the NFL still the most lucrative? I think it's the most lucrative.
Like profitable league?
Yeah, like business.
Yeah,
I believe
I think so.
But you got to consider the fact that these people are all trying to feed their families. They're making a profession on playing baseball. And if they have a 10-year career, which in Major League Baseball is a pretty awesome thing to have a 10-year career.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how many years are we going to work? I've been working since I was 16, and I'll probably, living in Illinois, be working until I'm 106. But if I'm going to be working for 55 years and I need to make X amount of dollars in 55 years to be able to retire for the next 20, then in the majors, they are condensing their career into a smaller amount of time. Maybe there should be an expectation that when you get out and you're 35 years old and you can't play in the majors anymore, that okay, you're now 35 years old. That's how old I am. So I've got, I think, a lot of life ahead of me, God willing, in this career. Maybe it should be more normal to have to make more of your money later in your career, but the market will dictate that, and this bargaining agreement will dictate that. But there's still almost 2 years before this will have to be completed. Is the deadline in the middle of the season? Because in 1994, the strike began in the middle of the season, right?
Yeah, but the deadline doesn't have to do with the strike. They can strike whenever they feel like
they have
the most leverage. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the most opportune time to strike because this is when we could do the most damage to the owners financially. Yeah.
Dan, real quick, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment, Annie. No one's talking about the risk that the owners have to take in order to put the product on the field. And I think that's a lot across, you know, big business in this country is that, you know, we see these, you know, people who make loads and loads of money, but we don't know how they got there and what it takes to stay there. And so I think, you know, players have done a very good job of getting themselves compensated, but they got to understand, and I think everyone said this before, it is a business.
Yeah.
And there is a certain amount of risk involved. Mm-hmm. And so to just ignore that really is taking a lot out of the equation, and they got to, you know, they got to compensate for the risk also.
And somebody mentioned
thanks,
this.
Dan.
Somebody mentioned this earlier, and I think it's a point that needs, that is a great one. When the players say that the reason that they, that when they list that one of the reasons that they're upset is that these teams are obviously caring more about the business than the success of the team. They're putting business ahead of putting out a good product. As a fan, that's a great argument. It makes me very angry. I don't buy that one bit from the players. And I don't hold that against them either. You think we've seen it time and time again that the players are going to get the best deal they can get for themselves and make the most money they can. If they can go on and win a World Series, great. But the majority of them would play for the last place team for $20 million rather than win a World Series
and make
$10 million.
Yeah.
So give me a break with the...
I'm just trying to help the ball club. What does Nuke LaLoosh say in the last interview of Bull Durham? I'm just taking them one day at a time. Hopefully, God willing, things will work out.
Yeah.
All right. So I asked my 3-year-old daughter, what does mommy do for a living? And it was great the way she answered it. But particularly, Tony has made an impression on my 3-year-old.
All right.
What do I do when I go to work?
Listen to your friends.
I listen to my friends?
Yeah.
Who are my friends?
Katie and Katie's dad.
Katie and Katie's dad?
Yeah.
What's Katie's dad's name?
I don't know. Tony Stark.
Tony Stark.
I go play with my friends at work. Who are my friends? Katie and her dad, whose name is Tony Stark. Wow, Tony. Are you okay?
I like it.
There's kind of that's kind of a double-edged sword right there. In my daughter's eyes, either
I'm Katie's dad,
but you're Tony Stark. Is that take it or leave it?
So it's pretty cool that I'm Tony Stark, but it's also pretty bad that I'm old enough to be Katie's dad. I get it. I like the whole thing. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Yep.
In that video, I also talk about. I ask her who her president is. And I didn't like preface any of this. There are a lot of questions I asked her that I edited out because they went weird, as conversations with 3-year-olds will often do. And I asked her who the president was, and she said President Trump. And I said, what does the president do? And she basically says he cooks food. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's one thing he doesn't do.
Miley doesn't like it.
Where can you see that video?
We could probably embed it on the website, 971talk.com/Annie, and that video will be up there, and it's adorable because it's my 3-year-old, and if you don't think that, you just keep that to yourself because
it's about Tony Stark.
Is cute. And I am so privileged to come to work every day and play with my friends, Katie and her dad, Tony Stark.
This is the second joke that has been made about Tony's age.
Yes. Well, the other one came from you.
I'm used to it.
That wasn't a joke. That was just you saying that he was too old to remember something, or I don't remember what it was.
Didn't raise her right. That's the problem. I got nobody to blame but myself.
Is the view here. We've got the 40s, 30s, and the 20s. All on the podcast, radio.com. Dave Glover Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.